Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, August 13th. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. John Nordling from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Good morning, Dr. Nordling. How are you this morning?
I'm really good. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. It's good to have some time to talk with you this morning. Now, you serve as Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary. Tell us about your work in the Department of the Exegetical Theology.
Well, mainly what I do here is teach Greek. In fact, we're in the week 9 of summer Greek, so we have one more week to go and the students are ready for it to be over. But I teach New Testament courses and advanced Greek, courses in Gospels 1 and 2, as well as Pauline epistles and Greek readings. So that's how I'm used here.
Why is the study of Greek and the ability to read the scriptures, the New Testament in Greek, why is that important to seminary education and pastoral formation?
Oh, boy. Well, that's like asking, why would you like to see color when you watch a movie? Or, you know, why can't I just watch it in black and white? And you can, of course. But the Greek language just conveys so much more meaning and nuance and texture to the text that a blank English text cannot give. So it's wonderful, and pastors can draw on that experience as they're preaching and teaching the Word of God to their congregations. But I like lay people to come up to the level of learning Greek also. I'm very passionate about this, so that's what I do, and that's the point of this conference. You know, the conference kind of comes out of the love for the languages and especially classical civilization and literature.
Well, tell us about this. A conference coming up this fall at Concordia Theological Seminary.
Yes. So the dates are October 2nd and 3rd, 2014. And that is a Thursday and a Friday. That gives pastors a whole day to get back to their congregations on Sunday morning. Now, we kind of had to do that new schedule because it used to be on Friday and Saturday, but in order to accommodate Dr. Paul Meyer, he's going to be one of our plenary presenters. He's leaving on a cruise, so he wanted to move it up a day. And actually, I was thinking of doing this anyway. We were thinking of it, of moving it up just to accommodate more pastors so that they can come.
Well, what are the types of things that'll be covered in this conference? It's Lutheranism and the classics. Is that correct? Is that the name
right,
of the conference?
Right. That's the umbrella, and then our focus this biennium is Lutherans Read History. So that's why we asked Dr. Meyer to come, because he, of course, is a Josephus scholar, and his talk is the Greco-Roman classics and the New Testament dissonance or harmony. We also have, he's one of the plenary speakers, and we have two other plenary speakers, Dr. Cameron McKenzie, my colleague here at the seminary, learning lessons from the past with Martin Luther. And then we also have Dr. Robert J. Christman, Associate Professor at Luther College. His paper will be Martin Luther and the History of the Reformation's First Executions. So we have those plenary papers, but then we have 30 sectional papers on a whole raft of, on 10 different sections. Let me just read some of those sessions. Titles. There's History in the Bible, there's Patristic Scholarship, Luther in the Past, Josephus, Lutheran Lyricism, Medieval Preaching, Law and Canon Law, Barnes and the Lutheran Complaint, Metrics and Hymnody, Melanchthon and Pedagogy, Post-Reformation, and the Wauwatosa Way. That's the last one. Those papers are focused on Professor John P. Is it Kohler or Kaler? He's the Wisconsin Synod professor who was a great classicist. So we have several. This is an attempt to interest people in the Wisconsin Synod to give our conference a chance and a hearing. But several papers on him and World War One and Kultur und Kirche, J.P. Kaler's Sacred Historiography. So it's going to be quite a time with these 30 different sectional presenters. It would be tedious for me to list them all,
Well, I think one that stands out probably the most for me as I'm looking through the titles of these presentations is probably the banquet presentation by Dr. Scare.
Yeah.
Classic rock and classic Coke. What's so classical about the classics?
Yeah, Peter Scare, my associate here at the seminary. Peter got a bachelor's degree in classics at Indiana University, and he can read Greek very well, and he's really coming on strong as a teacher of the Gospels, especially Mark and Luke. I mean, that's what his doctoral dissertation was on at Notre Dame, but he's very interested in background to the New Testament. And so I don't have any idea what he's going to do. I don't think he knows. he's going to have something, but he's a very good speaker. If you've ever heard him before,
Absolutely.
He handles a crowd really well, and that's why I asked him, because I knew that given the chance, he would rise to the occasion. For sure.
Well, he certainly has given it a title that catches your attention, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So the event goes over Thursday and Friday, and right. You mentioned that pastors would certainly find this useful. Are there others who might be interested, that you think might be interested in this conference?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have for one thing, I need to point out also, at the last, we always have something for homeschoolers and for young families that are raising their kids on Latin and classical Lutheran education. So we have Mr. Brandon Booth, Associate Executive Director of the Worldview Academy. His paper is going to be right at the end on Friday afternoon. And the title is Next Generation History, Teaching the Past for the Future. And so he's a very good teacher of kids, and, you know, he's very web savvy. And I like to have someone like that at the end, because it makes what we do practical. And, I mean, that's why I think you should learn the languages. It's practicality, and it's for the future, not just the connection to the past, but it helps the church at present, and it bodes well for the church of tomorrow and society of tomorrow. So that's what he's going to be doing. And that's enough. I could go on and on, but
well, certainly you've pointed out that there's great value in studying the classics, in learning the languages, learning Greek, learning Latin. Why is it so important for not just for pastors, but why do you think it's important for others, for laity to learn these languages and to read history as the theme is Lutherans read history for this conference?
Maybe I should back up and mm-hmm. just point out that the people that we're trying to attract to the conference, I mean, this is to be a meeting of two disciplines that kind of go in opposite directions. One is Lutherans, and especially Lutheran pastors who read the New Testament primarily, and are, you know, very much in the world of the church. And the other group that I'm trying to attract to our conference are professional classicists who are really removed. These are the technicians of the language who teach in universities and sometimes look down their noses at those of us that read the Greek New Testament, which is ridiculous. So it's an attempt to get these two groups together, and we're working pretty well on the pastors and for example, a lot of the sectional papers are presented by my colleagues in the Concordia University system. but I'm still working to attract and entice the professional classicists that I got to know when I was a classicist at Baylor and at Valparaiso University. And the problem that you have in classics is just increased specialization, knowing more and more about less and less, and not, you know, reaching the hoi polloi, you know, the masses, the kids and lay people. So I'm very glad to be back in the church again, because that's the whole point of what we do as pastors, is we broadcast these things to the world. But classics at present can be very inward-looking and very, very specific. So I'm trying not, this is not just for the church, but it's also to help the academy and to draw, and we're getting a few. I mean, there are some very committed Lutheran classicists like E. Christian Kopp, for example, mm-hmm. of the University of Colorado at Boulder. He comes to this, and Carl Springer, who is at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville. He's very committed to this cause as well. So it's just helpful to get classicists also thinking of extending what we know and love, the languages, philology, into our churches and into society. It helps everyone to do it this way.
Well, we are talking with Dr. John Nordling from Concordia Theological Seminary on the upcoming conference, Lutheranism and the Classics, focusing on Lutherans Read History. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll hear more about this upcoming conference, October 2nd through the 3rd at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
Join the residents and staff of Richmond Terrace Assisted Living for their third annual Spaghetti Supper, Friday evening, August 15th, starting at 6. In addition to a delicious home-style meal, the event will feature a silent auction and gift basket raffle, with all proceeds going to support seniors who can no longer support themselves. Tickets are $10 per person. RSVP with Katri or Patty at 314-646-8000.
In 1939, Lutherans started resettling people displaced by World War II. In 1960, we asked, who else can we help, and opened our service networks to refugees and migrants. As wars and conflicts create the need for asylum and refuge, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is still asking, who else can we help? Today, with partners, congregations, and volunteers, we're resettling refugees, reuniting families, and rekindling dreams. You can help. LIRS.org/volunteer.
We live in a brave new world when it comes to infertility medicine, in vitro fertilization, embryo adoption, and assisted reproductive technology. What is the church to do? What comfort can we offer those suffering? LCMS Life Ministry and Concordia Seminary Life Team are sponsoring a free infertility ethics symposium for pastors, seminarians, commission ministers, and parish nurses, November 8th in St. Louis. Space is limited. LCMS.org/life.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, August 13th, and we are talking with Dr. John Nordling from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne on the upcoming Lutheranism and the Classics Conference, focusing on Lutherans Read History. Dr. Nordling, looking at the upcoming conference, October 2nd through the 3rd, can you give us an idea of what the schedule looks like? You've mentioned a lot of the topics and themes for the sectionals and the papers that'll be discussed, but what does a typical day look like at this conference?
Well, it's divided between plenary papers, where we will all be in, you know, one large meeting room, and then the sectional papers. So there's three plenary papers, and there's four sessions for sectional papers. And then we have breaks for chapel. And at the chapel settings, there will be Latin. And that's really neat, including the final, the itinerarium at the very end. That will be conducted completely in Latin by my colleague, Reverend Dr. Roland Ziegler, who has a very good command of churchly Latin. So that's kind of how it's divided. And then we have a banquet at the end of Thursday. Thursday evening, there will be a banquet. So,
very good. So there will be times for discussion, for study, as well as times for chapel and for prayer throughout the day. Very good.
Yeah. So our brochure, I'd like your listening audience to have a look at the mm-hmm. at the brochure and our website. And let's see. I see my computer just went. If you visit www.ctsfw.edu/classics, or actually it'd be easier just to go to the Fort Wayne Seminary website, Concordia Theological Seminary, and then go under activities, and Lutheranism and the Classics is right there. And you can see the brochure, and you can see like the sectionals, the abstracts for all of the papers are up online, and then there's registration materials there too. And people are starting to register. I mean, there's a number of people that are coming already. So we're still almost 2 months away, and it's very encouraging to see this kind of groundswell of interest already coming in.
And tell us about the registration. They can complete that online.
Yeah.
Or they can fill out a form and send it in as well.
Yeah, it's on there's a registration form on the brochure, which can be done also, and that will go to my assistant, Leanna Rondeau, at the seminary. But it's probably easiest just to do it online. That's how more and more people are registering lately.
Sure.
And in the brochure also, there's kind of a synopsis of all of the plenary speakers and Dr. Scare, the banquet speaker. It tells what they've done, where they're serving, what publications they've produced, and that kind of thing. So, I also want to mention that what we're doing in Lutheranism and the Classics is trying to, I'll just read from our articles of incorporation, to advance the respective causes of Lutheranism and the Classics in a generative as opposed to a reactive way. So we're trying to produce papers and essays for the church and for the academy. And so one of the things we're trying to do is publish our proceedings. And we've published both of the proceedings for the first two conferences. The first one came out in Logia, and the second one was published by LutheranLegacy.org in a very handsome volume called Ad Fontes Wittebergenses. I've read it myself, and I'm very proud of what we've done publishing these essays, and these essays for our third conference will also be published too. So it's one of the things we are trying to do. It's a high priority for our movement.
Looking over the topics and much of what you've shared this morning, it's clear that having a grasp of Latin, having a basic understanding of Latin would probably be helpful. What are some places you might point the average layperson to in order to start studying Latin?
Well, you can do it. I've been reading Christian Kopp's book, The Devil Learns Latin, and at the very end of that book, he talks about, if you're interested, what you can do to learn Latin and Greek, and I don't remember exactly what he says, but a lot of people, of course, will just invest in Wheelock's Latin grammar and work through it on their own. I mean, you can take Latin at any local university that offers it, but not all of them do anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true. Come to our conference. At our conference, we're going to have a lot of people that do Latin and Greek in a Lutheran way. I mean, if you want to be exposed to the people that are in this world, our conference is the place. I really think it is. And then I should also mention there's the CCLE, the Consortium of Classical Lutheran Educators, several pastors of which have schools and are headmasters. There's about 15 or 17 churches that sponsor classical Lutheran education, and a lot of those people will be at our conference as well. So it's just a good way to meet these people and get to know what's going on.
Sure. We had a chance to visit with them while the conference was here in St. Louis, CCLE conference, and I had the privilege of talking with Dr. Koff, Christian Koff, and Dr. Veith at that conference,
right,
and some other presenters as well. I got to talk with them on our program called Faith and Family, and it was just a delightful conversation. It was a great visit with them, and a neat conference. The lineup that they had for that conference was outstanding, not just for day school educators, but for home educators as well, and for pastors. It was a great conference in terms of the things that they had to offer.
Yeah. And so, of course, when I try to visit them as much as possible, last year they met here and I read a paper there. I consider myself part of the CCLE also.
Mm-hmm.
But when they meet somewhere else hundreds of miles away from where I need to teach Greek, it's hard for me, you know. Maybe I should just come down for the day. But I hear they're going to meet here on our campus next summer in 2015. So I will no doubt try to make a big splash there, read a paper, or certainly I will be, trying to promote Lutheranism and the classics for sure. So,
well, you should just teach your classes the way that they teach Latin now, online.
Online. Well, we do. I mean, we do have online Greek, and I'm the talking head for it. And more people are learning Greek that way. That's true. I mean, the internet is here to stay, and we have to learn to work through it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a chance to talk with one of their an instructor that teaches a high school Latin class online, and and she was sharing with me a bit, you know, how she communicates with all students, and it is a face-to-face video course, but how interesting, using new technology to teach a language that we've had for such a long time.
Right. Well, with my advanced Greek class, we've done it online too, because we have the students here, but then there's other students in the church. And as long as they, enter our discussion at the right time, they can be part of the class. So we've done that. We've set that up. So I can have more students that way for advanced Greek. So.
Well, any other events we have the conference coming up October 2nd through the 3rd, Lutheranism and the Classics at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Great topics and lots of papers lined up for this. Any other events coming up that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I haven't talked about my paper.
Uh-huh.
And that is, I'm going to give a paper in this Josephus section. History and Fate in Josephus's Bellum Gallicum. And I published a reader on Josephus for my advanced Greek class, which has Josephus selections. And Dr. Paul Meyer wrote the foreword for it, published through Concordia Publishing House. So I'm working on a paper that comes out of the text that I have in that reader. And it's very interesting because Josephus describes the accession to world rule of Vespasian and how it's mentioned by other tokens, as he puts it. So there's kind of a nod to fate. And yet Josephus is himself a Jew, as are the are the first century writers of the New Testament. So in what way are they the same, and what way do they differ? And what was Luther's understanding of history and fate? That's kind of what my paper is about. So it's really fun to work through this issue. You know, as a Lutheran and as a classicist, this gives me a great amount of freedom to develop both parts of who I am, you know, and to do this type of work. So I couldn't do that when I was just the classicist that I can do now. So it's great. And I'm just, you know, looking to attract other people into our fold, you know, so that people can do this kind of work.
Well, great. Thursday, October 2nd through Friday, October 3rd, Lutheranism and the Classics at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, focusing on Lutherans Read History. Dr. John Nordling will be presenting on in the Josephus section, History and Fate in Josephus. What was the next? Is it Bellum?
Yeah, Bellum, Jewish War 399 to 408, where he describes his prediction that Vespasian and Titus are going to become world emperor, the emperor of the Roman Empire. The emperor of the Roman world. So it's very interesting, and Josephus claims to have predicted it.
You can find out more at www.ctsfw.edu/classics. You can find more information there on the Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne website. You can register there as well. And take a look at the lineup. Lots of great papers, and not only study and discussion, but also time for prayer and for worship, for chapel there at Concordia Seminary in Kramer Chapel. Just a beautiful place to gather for worship as well.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Nordling, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us about this upcoming conference at Concordia Theological Seminary.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time and your interest.
Absolutely. God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Concordia Theological Seminary, preparing pastors and deaconesses and others for service in the church and in the world.
Okay. I'll see you in October.
Thank you so much. God's blessings.
Okay, bye now.
Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the Daily Lectionary. Hope you can join us for that. Stick around for more His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.